Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
This is our league, and this is your league. Broadcasting from the 55-yard line in Japan to the shores of the Great White North and everywhere around the world on Gridiron America Radio and the Sports History Network.
Welcome to the From the 55-Yard Line with Dave and Greg. We are sitting here. We're actually in the middle of a YouTube, in the middle of a live stream, which it's just really just Dave and I right now because we're on YouTube. It is late at night there in the States. It's early morning here. It's morning time in Japan. And this morning I got woken up to alerts from the Chicago Tribune, from every Chicago news source, telling me that Justin Fields has been traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers, which at first I'm like, okay, what's going on here? This has to be a joke, but apparently it's not. So, Dave, what's you got? What was your reaction when you saw the news hit a couple hours ago?
The Pittsburgh Steelers are paying less than $7 million for two starting quarterbacks next year.
Yes.
That is incredible.
I don't know how they did it, but they got a sweet deal. They were able to buy at a deep discount, which I think, this is going to sound weird, I think puts them in good position. Having two good, I mean, Russell Wilson's not a bad quarterback. Justin Fields isn't a bad quarterback, but I don't know. I'm not a huge Pittsburgh Steelers fan, but they ripped the Bears off, and hats off to them for doing it because the Bears should have asked for a lot more.
I don't think they were getting any more. I think if they would have, they would have done the deal already.
But which, you know, because they waited so long, so all the quarterbacks with free agency. I mean, we were kind of getting towards the end here. Anyway,
the only thing, and I'll jump in with this, the only thing is they have the first pick, right?
Yeah.
Do they have a deal with someone else to get a quarterback for that? Or are they just going to go with Michael? I mean, I guess the question that runs through my mind is this one of a couple plays that they have going now? So we're gonna move Justin. We got something back. It's only $5 million. I mean, okay. In football terms, it's only $5 million.
Right.
So, and he's got 2 years left, and so they moved that off. So, do they have something else in place already that they wanted to move Justin Fields first? Because it almost makes it, if you do that and you have something else, it could hurt you because now they go, now you're desperate. Now you need this.
Yeah.
So, I just think at the end of the day, they've been trying to shop him. I don't think deals were going to get any better. There's enough quarterbacks out there hanging around. I mean, I don't know. It's one of those things where you get what you can and you just move on.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I saw it and I'm like, oh shit, here we go again. And living and growing up in Chicago, The list of starting quarterbacks for the Bears since I was a kid is a real, real long one. And this to me just goes to the ineptitude of the franchise. They've never been able. I mean, they had some stability with Jay Cutler, and Jay Cutler was a good quarterback, but and Jim McMahon. I'm sure I could. I got have to sit down with my buddy John Gunning to, because he, even though he's from Ireland, since 85, he's been a hardcore Bear. So he knows actually the starters, the historical starters, better than I do.
You mean Mike Tomczak wasn't the one?
Oh, he was horrible.
Jim Miller?
You know, Jim Miller, he was serviceable for a moment. Steve Fuller. Hell, people forget Steve Fuller is the one that got the Bears to the, played half the season at quarterback because McMahon was hurt half the season. So Kyle Orton. I mean, just go through and you, and people, when Rex Grossman was on the Bears and he was sitting the bench, he was the next, I mean, he was a big deal. He was like, oh, he's going to bring the, and he did take the franchise to a Super Bowl. But with that said, I mean, he fizzled out there too. It's just, I don't know. I don't know what this franchise does with a quarterback, and they're going to, but they're going to draft a guy that didn't want to go there anyway, which, you know, if I can believe what I'm reading in the press, he didn't want to go to the Bears, right?
Nope.
So then that kind of makes me wonder how that's going to work out.
You know, it's one of those things where so much happens between now and April.
Yeah. Yeah. It's again, to me, it just comes down to, the Bears can't figure anything out anymore. It's become a three-ring circus with the Bears over the years. And, you know, ever since Halas died, I mean, the decisions that have been made, even when he was the owner, when he was alive, if people forget that between the time the Bears won in 63 until the time he died, they only had a handful of winning seasons. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know what – it's much like the Lions. They seem to be a cursed franchise, and they're cursed by their own people.
You know what, things are not going well when Sid Luckman's still your second all-time quarterback in yards. Passing
and
yards.
Of course, yeah. And who's the first? Jay Cutler.
Yes.
Which is sad. I mean, but you know, Jay Cutler at least lasted. How many years did Jay Cutler last? I can't even remember off the top of my head.
You know what? He's very deceptive because he was there a lot longer. He's there a lot longer than you think. He was there from 09 to 15.
Really? Wow. Yeah. And I remember that was where they kind of ripped the Denver off too, because Denver really didn't know what they had in them. But at the time, you know, you remember back then, Cutler was Jake Plummer's backup. And Jake Plummer, probably one of the worst quarterbacks I've ever seen. Everybody's like, oh, he was great. He pulled wins out of a hat. Yeah, but he usually put the team in a hole by chucking about five interceptions before rallying the team to make up for all his mistakes.
He was a gunslinger, classic gunslinger.
Yeah. And
they're still trying to recover from Mitch Trubisky.
And they traded. Remember how that trade all came about? That trade came about because didn't they trade up for him and then they passed on Mahomes, if I'm not mistaken?
I'm still bitter the Bills traded the pick to Kansas City so they could draft Pat Mahomes.
Oh God. It's amazing.
I thought Trubisky was like number two or something, because Mahomes was 10th. That was in that draft. So I thought Trubisky went a lot earlier. Let me look it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the second pick.
While you're doing that, I'm trying to figure out. I'm looking at it on our screen here, on our logo. It's like, oh, forget, stay tuned. We're here now.
He was the second pick. I remember coming out of Carolina, he became like the the it factor all of a sudden. This guy came out of nowhere. He had a tremendous senior season in North Carolina. And then he just – his trajectory just went through the roof.
Oh, it's – yeah, but I mean, yeah, it's just – I don't even know. I get frustrated just even talking about the Bears because it's like – you know, and then you look at Green Bay and, you know, for his – the thing is, in Chicago Bears fans hate the Green Bay Packers, but the Green Bay Packers have figured out how to build a winning tradition and keep it going.
Mm-hmm. They've had some good GMs. I mean, they've been very lucky on their football personnel over the years. They've had some really strong personnel people from GM. Their drafts have been great. I mean, they figured it out a long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good formula.
It's just amazing because the Bears have just become for lack of a better term, the Bears have just become a freaking joke over the years. And it just seems to me they're not getting any better. And I don't know. I just figured, you know, like, I'm like, man, you know, it's just because I'm going home. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I guess I'll give them this. Like, if they decided that Justin Fields wasn't the answer, rip the Band-Aid off, move him on, get what you can. And then, honestly, if they're not interested in Williams, if they have somebody in their thought process, there's nothing wrong with trading that first pick and getting more. Like, There's got to be at least one team that has two first round picks. Trade those two. It's really comes down to getting bodies, getting quality at many positions. That's what the NFL is. One player is not going to get you there. You need to be able to have quality at your 53 man roster. You need 45 players who can play.
Yeah.
At a moment's notice, and that's where.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest thing the Bears, and I think that's really what, from the top level teams down, like that's what separates. Who has players 30 to 45 at a quality depth who can really perform in a pinch.
Yeah, and also too, it goes to what you were saying in terms of just having with the team and depth and everything. And who knows? They could draft Williams. He could be ready to go by, week one and be out, third play of the first game of the season. And now, like what happened with the Jets, with Rodgers going down, you just never know. But, I don't know. The Bears are just They are very frustrating, and they're just as frustrating as my Cardinals. And again, I like both teams because they're both Chicago teams. But this is, I'm curious to the reaction the next few days, especially tomorrow. Tomorrow being Monday, it's Saturday night there, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And see, I'm being in Japan. It's like I'm in two. And literally, I have to set my watch to two different, time zones, 15 hours apart. But, come Monday, once people in the media in Chicago start sitting down and talking about this, it's not so much the trade, it's what they didn't get for him. They got, this was a steal. Hmm? The Steelers giving up what they gave up. I mean, they didn't give up anything. At least Carolina, when they traded for the number one, they gave up something. If you remember last time the Bears had the number one pick.
It'll be curious. I mean, obviously, the deal with the Steelers came out of this is, I'll go back to the best they could get.
Yeah.
I mean, they probably want to focus on the draft. We're a month out.
Yeah.
Get rid of this. Let's figure out what direction we want to go. And it'll be curious because this is year two for Kevin Warren, president and than CEO. So it'll be interesting to see, like, he had that first year, see what was there. Now he has a very strong football background, and it'll be interesting to see from the business side, the whole scenario, what direction they go. Are they looking to, they spent 2023 looking over and see what talent they have. And then now it's time to, I don't know, redirect it, fill in the gaps, or honestly, I don't think trading Justin Fields is blowing anything up, but it's obviously looking for a new direction on how, with the football team, where they want to go.
Right. Well, and two, you know, the question is Eberflus going to get fired after this year if he has another bad season? You know, I mean, that's the other thing with this team. I mean, the coach, I think in any other franchise, a coach would have got fired this past year. It amazed me that they kept him on, but I don't know. We'll see. He's got a reprieve, so he's got a new quarterback. You know, if they don't get to 8-8 or what? Well, they don't do 500, and you can't be 500 in the NFL anymore unless you have a tie thrown in there. But, you know, they have they've got to win a lot more than what they won this past year to make anybody in Chicago feel happy or comfortable with the direction. And, too, the other thing, too, I think that kind of factors is if the Packers and the Lions do exceedingly great this coming year, nobody really cares about the Vikings in Chicago. But if the Lions, well, particularly if the Packers do great with Jordan Love, but because I think a lot of people in Chicago kind of root for Detroit just because they've never won anything. I mean, there's never been any bad feelings between Lions fans and Bears, at least for me growing up. I mean, maybe in the 60s there was, because 60s and 50s, because both those teams, you know, back in the old days of the NFL, when the, you know, when it was, you know, tough football, tough defenses, your Alex might have been different, but I think the Bears are going to, I don't know. I'm just frustrated. That's really it.
I mean, I don't, other than reading about Eberflus, right?
Eberflus. Wow, yeah.
Outside of reading, it seems like he, on the defensive side, really did a really good job with that. It seemed like the offense was a struggling point. So if they can get a quarterback they feel comfortable with, get that solid ground game going, and give whoever that quarterback is a chance to learn the system and play the style they want to play. I mean, 7-10, I could see 9-8 out of them.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, it'll be once the first camp's open, especially once, you know, what the draft is. How many weeks away is the draft? We got about a month to go before.
Month, 5 weeks. I think it's the second or third week of April. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But I mean, they went from 3-14 to 7-10 with every week people wanted to cut Justin Fields. So
yeah. Well, in Chicago, man, people are never happy when it comes to the Bears and their performance. I mean, the most popular quarterback in Chicago has always been the guy on the bench. With exceptions like Mike Glennon and Mike Tomczak. You know, there's a whole list of them. They're like, nah, we don't want the backup either. We know the backup's gonna suck. And there's just a whole list of names. If you threw a name out at me and I did, you know, chances are I might know it, but then again, chances are I might not remember. I'd be like, oh yeah, he had a cup of coffee with the team. And And then on top of all that, now I don't know if you're following along with what's going on with the stadium issues in Chicago. Have you been following any of that talk?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So they bought a piece of property out in Arlington Heights by the old racetrack, which is a nice piece of property. A really nice piece of property. It is perfect for what the Bears need. The problem is they're running into issues with Arlington Heights or, you know, with governments, with school. Because the land that they bought is the old Arlington racetrack. And there's so much room there. I mean, it's like, if you're going to pick a place to put a stadium, there's really no better place. But apparently that now is off the table. And now the Bears are talking about building a stadium right next to Soldier Field. And what they're going to do with the old Soldier Field is basically tear it down, but keep all the historical colonnades and everything, you know, the shell of it. But we'll see. I don't see that one happening. Either.
And you have the White Sox looking for a new stadium too.
Yeah, literally. So they're literally like, I got to look at the map, but we're talking like 8 blocks away. We're not talking that far. Yeah, and that's another nice piece of property. Cause I got, when they were talking about the White Sox, I'm like, man, where is that? Oh, I know. Cause it's right across from the Target down in the South Loop. And in my, you know, when I was working, you know, I used to go down that area all the time. I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot about that area. Yeah, it's perfect for, I mean, it's a perfect area. It's an area that needs redevelopment anyway, because I think it would be perfect, but the problem is the city of Chicago and the NFL, you know, both teams are looking for a handout, and I don't know if they're going to get it from, I'd be curious to see how this is going to play out in city, when it comes to the mayor and city hall, when it comes to, city council. I got a friend of mine who's an alderman, and I sure would love to get his take on what he thinks is going to happen, or what he thinks should happen with the Bears, because I don't know. I don't see this. The Bears have been looking for a new stadium ever since they left Wrigley Field back in 71, I think, is when they left Wrigley Field. And honestly, if the Bears could conceivably sell out Wrigley Field now, I think now, because now too, if you've noticed, I think you and I have talked about this, but aren't a lot of the NFL pro teams, aren't they starting to reduce the stadium size?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I'd love to see them go back to Wrigley Field, because now they reconfigured Wrigley Field so they can play football there. But that's not going to happen.
It'll get done. Public money will be there. It's going to take a lot of meetings. It's going to take a lot of handshakes. But the money will be there.
I have a hard time, because when the Olympics were supposed to come, when the Olympics were supposed to come to town, that was one of the best things that ever happened to the city, in the sense that they did not get the Olympics, mm-hmm. because there would have been so much corruption involved in building everything. And in the end, they would have never got a brand new NFL stadium. Because the way they had laid everything out, it was supposed to be a temporary state. I mean, some great plans and everything. But all I kept thinking about was, man, there's going to be a lot of corruption here, a lot of bribes. I don't know. We'll see. But this new mayor that they have, I really don't have a lot of faith in him. But then again, I didn't have a whole lot of faith in the old one.
But you have to look at it, too. It's not so much this mayor will not be accountable for the stadium, because say they get some kind of deal done. Say the White Sox, the Bears come to the table with a $2 billion multi-complex, this here and this here. It's going to take 4 to 6 years to get that off the ground.
Yeah.
There'll be another administration unless this mayor is that strong.
No, he's not. Chicago is in the midst of a bunch of one-term mayors, and he's the second one.
And that's the thing. It's like, if that is the case, they just got to get far enough into that term where deal is done. Thank you, everybody. My legacy is the Bears and the White Sox are staying. I'm out.
Yeah.
And then what happens is the next administration comes in, and they're accountable for the $250 million overruns. They're in charge. They're on the hook for everything that happened. And they're going, why did we run?
Yeah.
The playbook is there. It's every. Maybe I'm cynical in the fact that you hear these price tags of $2 billion and we can't afford this, but all of a sudden the money is found.
Yeah. Well, that's what happened. You know, that's what happened back when the White Sox wanted to leave town the first time around. And I think I don't have much faith that the Bears Stadium is going to get built anytime soon. I don't know about the White Sox Stadium because we've been down this road before with the White Sox and we're talking Jerry Reinsdorf. He's already made one threat to leave the city 30 years ago, and that convinced the General Assembly down in Illinois to do what they needed to do to build a horrible stadium right next to the old one. And the old one obviously was a classic jewel, but it was falling apart. It needed to be replaced. It was horrible. Yes. It was horrible. I mean, it was, and in that area of the city is a lot of decay. That area is where the area where the current stadium, and the old stadium are and were is it's a lot of crime. That's about all I can say. It's not the safest area. I mean, you've got a little pocket there that's protected by, you know, around the stadium, but you don't have what you have up on the north side with Wrigleyville, with and of course the Cubs just opened up a new gambling a little gambling annex right next to the stadium. So when I was a kid walking into the stadium, that area that I would go through to get, it's on the first base side. That's all gone now because you've got to go through. I think it's on-site gambling or something like that. I saw the news. It's like, oh, okay. So, but the White Sox want to have basically what the Cubs have on the north side, and the way everything is laid out with this new stadium where they want to go would be perfect for everything. I mean, I think, you know, when I saw the things for the. I'm more apt to think that the Sox are going to get their new stadium before the Bears are, because the Sox have shown an ability to force people's hands, whereas the Bears haven't. You know, the Bears got a new stadium, but, you know.
I will end my comment with this. Don't underestimate Jerry Jones and his ability as the head of the liaison for the new stadiums at the NFL to make it happen.
Well, that's true. That's a good point. I mean, he's a horrible owner when it comes to his own team because the Cowboys have. Yeah. But when it comes to I agree.
Yeah. He is the best owner in the NFL because he is making an incredible. He is making Brinks trucks of money and never has to buy a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah. That's
because
true.
Never has to spend any of it out because all it is just keeps coming in every year. He breaks sponsorship records, revenue records.
Yeah. Yeah, as in, yeah, no, you're right. As an owner, when it on the financial side of it, yeah, oh yeah, no, I agree 100%. Obviously, as an owner on the championship side of it, we know what his track record is after that. You know, back in the early 90s. So no, I agree with you. Yeah, it's, but again, we're still kind of early. I'm just being cynical. I really am.
I know. And believe me, in before the Bills got that new stadium, I mean it. The power of what Jerry Jones brings in and that whole group. And I mean, the Bills ownership still had to pay money. I mean, it's not free. And then part of the deal, yes, they got a lot of money. So I'm not saying that they didn't get taxed by money. They got a lot of taxpayers' money. But one of the things that protects, if you want to say it, protects the taxpayers is they're capped. Anything over that is responsibility of the Buffalo Bills organization. Okay. So you can't go over $800 million and sorry. So there is a little protection in that, but it's still a big spend that the rest of the state is pretty upset about. But
oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, and that's the thing, too. I mean, you know, when it comes to stadiums, I mean, the publicly funded, I mean, I live in a town here in Japan where, you know, got a big minor league baseball stadium right across the street from where I live. And that was built, I think it was built in the 50s. I would assume publicly funded because it's from the city and everything. But it's funny. The public stadiums here, at least in this town, even though they've been around for 30 years, still look like brand new. So it's just, you know, the other part of it, it goes to the maintenance of them, keeping them up to code. I mean, just so, you know, hopefully. And the last time I went to Guaranteed Rate Field, that was a couple of years ago, actually saw Shohei Ohtani play. Yeah, I mean, it still felt serviceable. I mean, it's not a bad place to see a ball game, but it's just a pain in the ass to get there. And it, you know, if you want to do anything outside of the stadium, you really can't. It's not, you know, a village like what they have up in Wrigleyville. And because you've been to Wrigley Field, right?
I have not.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no. If you ever get to Chicago, man, that might be on our list of places to go here in June.
I flew over it coming into Chicago.
Don't
be surprised either along the way that this Bears deal gets done, because it's more of a real estate buy than a football stadium. So yeah. you might see the Bears end up picking up all this additional. Say they have to put in $300 million as part of this, or $400 million. I wouldn't be surprised if they picked up tax credits to equal that, as well as what Foxborough has with Robert Kraft. Mm. All that retail that goes all the – there's basically I went to Foxborough. The old Foxborough is basically you're just driving on this road, and all of a sudden there's a football stadium. Now there's a whole shopping center around it. And that's where, of course, there's a lot of money in football, but there's the additional 12 months a year revenue.
Right. Well, it's same way in Glendale. You go out in Glendale where the Cardinals play, and it's just not, you know, you see the big dome stadium, but then you go around and just there's so much around there. Plus too, they've got, you know, the hockey and basketball arena too, which unfortunately they don't have really. You know, the hockey team is gone, and the Suns don't play there. But if they did, I mean, all the additional stuff too. So,
yep.
And to wrap up everything, let's talk a little UFL LFA. So, LFA, what's been your impressions the first 2 weeks? And as we're recording here, we've got games on right now, which I don't have on, but I'll get to. What's been your impression? Because I wasn't able to watch last week because I had a whole bunch of other stuff going on. But what was your impressions so far?
It's some good football. There's some really good football being played, some really good athleticism. I went into it not really understanding or really – I had no idea what to expect. But the defenses, as you said earlier, are hitting. There's some big hits. Yeah. They don't look to play zone. They look to play in your face, and they look to get some good pops in. It was good to see week two, the running games across the board improved. The first week, the running game was a little overall as a league. It was a little bit shaky. But for the most part, the ground game got going, and that helped some that helped to give most quarterbacks, not every quarterback, more time. There's some quarterbacks still getting hit quite a bit, but it was good to see overall more offense, I think, in week two than week one, which I enjoyed to see. It was obviously more the teams got a better understanding of who they are. A lot more drives, a lot less, I want to say, first week of the season, you're running pass routes, you might miss a read or something. It was a lot more continuation, a lot more understanding the offenses by everybody involved, which I thought was great to see.
Yeah, I just liked in general atmosphere. You know, I enjoy the football for what it is, you know, like the hard hits and all that. But anybody who's watching this and it starts to compare it to the NFL or the CFL, that's not how, to me, I watch these games. you know, the international games, just kind of enjoying it for what it is and hope, first of all, hope nobody gets hurt. And like you said, man, they play, it's a rough style of play down there in Mexico. So I was actually surprised that there weren't, I didn't see many people getting carried off, which I kind of with the, and maybe I, you know, maybe I just wasn't being as observant, but it just seemed to me that even though it was tough, it was hard hitting play, nobody was getting too hurt that I could see what I was watching on the screen. I know when I've watched the beginning of the Japanese league, the X League season, it's been interesting, especially was it last year with the godly heat we had here. A lot of the guys on the X League were just completely gassed or cramping up because of the heat, probably not conditioning enough. But so far from what I've seen, you know, everybody down there has come to play. Now, there is, you know, one aspect of the game that you and I were both shocked on, and that's field goals. The lack of guys being able to put it through the uprights, which to me makes no sense, especially in a country, you know, known for its soccer.
Yeah, I'm not even sure how to even – I don't even know where to go with that because there's not like there's no American imports kicking. So it's right.
It's all homegrown, man.
But it's as all, we – if we look at – I think as we go into it, if we get to week three, week four, I think it'd be, there's some players who are certainly – head and shoulders above others, and I think that as the season progresses, there's some good talent down there, and I think it just some of these players just didn't get the opportunity, either in the CFL or the NFL or in Europe, because there's players that played. I mean, there's guys starting right now in the LFA who were in NFL training camps. Signed CFL contracts, played in the EFL or ELF, but the X League. So there's quality players. There's quality players in this league, and they're for the most part, a lot of them are making some really good plays. There's some really nice plays out there.
Yeah, and you know now we're talking about just spring football in general because we've got the UFL starting here. What, 2 weeks now? And then we've got the EFL. I'm sorry, the ELF is starting up. I've got the website up now here too. And let's see, the teams. I'm trying to think, when does the ELF season start? That's coming. Let's see here.
A month away?
Yeah, we got a lot of football coming up. And unfortunately, here's the thing with the ELF.
So,
And then it's too, you got, besides the ELF in Europe, you've got other, the German Football League.
Yes.
You know, they're coming. Yeah, I mean, there's so many football leagues in Europe. Though, yeah, week one, May 25th. The thing that I'm frustrated with the ELF is because of my time zone. Because I'm 8 or 9 hours ahead of Europe, and I'd have to do the math here, but you know, you've got games that start at, let's see,
most games are in the afternoon, aren't they?
Yeah, no, well, maybe I'm taking a look here. Let's see, May 25th, 2200, so that's 10 p.m., but it says Central European time. Or 1 o'clock. I don't know. I got to look. But anyway, the bottom line is because of the time difference, I don't know if I'm going to be able to watch these games live. I can watch the LFA live here, obviously, with the time difference, but I got to watch. Same way with the UF. It's a challenge. It's really a challenge here to watch games. But then again, if I lived in the States watching the Japanese X League, I'd have to watch everything on a replay. So I kind of, you know, I can't have everything the way I want it. Is what I'm trying to say when it comes to my sports. But But, you know, going talking about, you know, what we have coming up in the spring. So we've got the LFA's playing, got the UFL starting. We got a lot of football coming up in the next few months. It just, football season seems to never end right now, which is okay. I'm not complaining. It's just.
And the indoor leagues kicked off last night and tonight.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. IFL, and that's, and the IFL's on YouTube too. And that's the other part of it too. At least being able to watch it.
So the NAL.
Okay.
And then the AFL's on NFL Network.
Okay. So with that said, Let's talk about the AFL. Do you think it's going to last through the season?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Now, do you want me to define what last is? Because I've had this discussion.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
It's minor league sports. Is everyone going to make it? I don't know.
Okay.
That's the majority of lower level minor league sports.
Right.
So they have 16 teams. Will all 16 make it? There's a chance it won't.
Okay. Okay.
But I don't my gut tells me the NFL wouldn't do this deal if they didn't think there was money behind it to get through it.
Okay. Well, and that's kind of where I'm like, when I saw, because there have been rumors that they were going to be on the NFL Network, but then when I actually saw it, I'm like, okay, I'm kind of surprised because, you know, the NFL's, but then again, the NFL had the AAF on the NFL Network when it started, and it just fizzled out by week 7. So we just don't know at this point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just don't know. Because I thought the NFL, when the AAF came about and they were on, I mean, there were some great crowds. The production values were excellent in terms of the video presentation. So I'm thinking, oh, you know, the NFL's got a buy-in, so there's money behind this. And as we quickly found out, there was no money behind it. It was all, you know, basically the AAF turned into one giant Ponzi scheme.
Well, they had football people, not business people.
Yeah. So, no, I'm just curious because it's like,
that's what they had. Yeah.
And we know the UFL will make it through the season. There's plenty of money behind that. And obviously the LFA too. It's been interesting going back to the LFA. Been interesting watching the YouTube presentations with their sponsorships. And, it's really put together well, at least the package. Now with the video, especially week one, the video production, at least when it comes to game time, leaves a lot of things to be desired because it's, I think they're still trying to figure it out. And also too, you know, I don't know how much money is behind, how much money they're putting into the production values, but I know at least what they're putting out with the highlights with YouTube and everything after the game is great. And they do have digital publications but you know, you and I were talking offline couple days ago and you sent me, finally the LFA put up their stats, is putting stats up, because when they first week I'm like, okay, where are the box scores? But now we've got box scores going up on the website, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And are they showing, the nice thing is they have comparisons too. They, you can look at it week by week too, because they have a cumulative, and then week by week too. So if you want to see who played week one, who played week two, what their stats are, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I got to spend time drilling down on that with the statistics for before we talk for the next podcast. So hopefully, we'll start our Gridiron Mexico podcast here in the coming weeks. It's been, and for anybody that's listening or watching, you got the language, obviously, because neither one of us speaks Spanish, and it's just, for me, it's time zone difference and trying to line everything right up with everything else I have going. And, you know, this is a labor of love. So it's not like, this is not for Dave and I, this is not our full-time job. This is a labor of love. So hopefully we're going to get to the grid, you know, have a launch, the official launch of Gridiron Mexico. But if not, we're going to just incorporate it in with, from the 55 Yard Line podcast as we kind of go along. And again, we're the deeper we get, we're trying to, you know, trying to stay on a weekly schedule. So just trying to catch as catch can, I guess. So with all that said, man, any last words before we sign off?
We got at least touch upon the CFL, right?
That's true. We do. So what's going on in the world of CFL?
So the Edmonton Elks, private ownership.
Oh, yeah. I never forgot about that.
I don't know. I mean, It sounds like it's a, it's a pretty interesting deal. I think, I look at it as private ownership has a better chance putting more money into it than the community owned, I guess.
Right.
I look at it.
Right. Well, I mean, but then with the community owned team, there's more stability in terms of the franchise, not just folding up and dying. Right. Is there an argument to be made there?
Oh, yes, definitely. Definitely. But I guess I look at it as I'm assuming the Elks are losing money. If they're considering this, I would think that they're losing money currently.
Yeah.
And the province doesn't want to, right. And the province doesn't want to keep covering that.
Right. Yeah. 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 I mean, you just, all you got to do is watch an Elks game and just see all the empty seats. That tells you all you need to know about where the team is at. And because I was looking at the numbers when that article came out about, they were saying, well, there's still money in the bank, but then you're like looking at the losses. They need to turn this around before they run out of money in the bank, because it's not looking good. And, you know, maybe with, you know, because you got the new owner in Montreal, you got the new owner in BC. And we haven't heard anything about MLSE pulling out of Toronto. So hopefully they're in for the long haul. So, yeah. So Edmonton obviously would be the next one, but I mean, Edmonton's a huge sports town. It's a big city. So, hey, you know, hopefully if they get a private owner, it's going to be work out, you know, it's going to turn itself around like it did in BC.
The recent track history with new owners and CFL teams seems like it's going well. So I didn't get that resurgence they had in BC. I think that'd be great.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we know people, I mean, they're football fans in Edmonton. They used to fill up that stadium to near capacity many, many years ago. So, but it goes to like with the CFL, we've talked about this, excuse me. They've got to market themselves to the younger crowd. Mm-hmm. And therein lies the challenge. So hopefully, because you ask anybody in Canada, oh, I'm an NFL fan. What about CFL? Eh, you know, there's, I don't know what it is about it. And that, you know, I did my own little non-scientific study about CFL fandom when I was in Ottawa about a year and a half ago. And it was eye-opening. It's like, oh, no, I'm an NFL fan. Oh, yeah, CFL, you know. So, yeah, if they can turn the ship around anywhere, I think it would be Edmonton, because I think you've got a, you know, plus two, remember the name change? That turned a lot of people off. I don't know if that was just on social media, but I would think they've got a lot of fans that they turned off that they could easily bring back. And I don't know how they do that.
Winning will do that. I think they're going to be around 500. I think they're going to surprise a lot of people. They got their defense improved. And they picked up some good offensive weapons. I think they're going to have a, I think they're going to surprise a lot of people this year.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope so. I hope so. And I especially hope so for, you know, our good friends over at the Turf District podcast, because, you know, anybody who's not listening to their podcast that covers Edmonton, you know, the Elks, you're missing a good show, you know, Andrew, Mike,
and my apologies in advance to Stampeders fans. I think it's going to be a rough one there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that, you know, that talks about another team. I mean, the Stampeders are in desperate need of a new stadium. And I think that's going to be the next franchise that needs addressing in terms of ownership, not so much ownership, but stadium. they play in a bare bones stadium, but I don't know if it's falling apart or what, but you know, everything I've read, you know, when it comes to stadium talk in the CFL, it always comes around to Calgary. It's like, yeah, they need a new stadium. And I don't know if it's a complete rebuild or just remodeling of what they have, but I don't know. And, but yeah, I think the rest of the CFL, right, knock on wood, is doing okay. I haven't heard anything about anybody having a hard time paying bills. And two, we've got also too with the CFL, we're coming up soon here in the next year or two on a new TV contract, right? That's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
And this will be year two with the streaming service that I thought did a top-notch job this past year.
Yeah. Yeah, they really did a good job. The only thing that people complained about, at least on the international end, was, you know, there was no video on demand for guys like, you know, me and the guys that used to do the Tokyo CFL podcast, because we're halfway around the world. And it's hard sometimes getting up at 3 or 4 a.m. to watch our teams play.
Yeah, but I mean, the Genius deal came together late. So I think everything I saw from them, I thought was fantastic. So I think it's just, there's a lot of people had a lot of questions about that when I was done, like, who is this? What are they going to do with this? How is this going to work? So I think at the end of the day, the getting 3 times the amount of money from CBS Sportsnet and then putting the games up for free, if you didn't have that for the other rest of the games,
right?
I thought it was, at the end of the day, I thought it was, it for all the criticism they got for that deal, I thought it worked out great.
Yeah. Yeah, too. And, you know, people forget that, you know, even though you're airing it for free, at least for the CFL, you're getting exposure on the internet. And that's what a lot of these leagues desperately need. I mean, that's why you have games on YouTube with the LFA and even with the indoor leagues. And, yeah, I'm kind of curious why the ELF doesn't do that, because they keep hitting me up for money. Hey, you're going to pay for your service? I'm like, okay, well, you know, the ELF was sending me notices about buying tickets for this year's championship game. I'm like,
I got that. Okay.
And it's a little too soon for you to be hitting me up for money or even, so I don't know, when it comes to finances in these leagues, I don't know what they are with the LFA, but it's just, sometimes you get a feel. It's like, oh, I don't know if your finances are really good right now.
I'm curious if it's free in Europe, and then, like, because you're international, I'm international, we'd have to pay for it. I wonder if it's free across Europe.
I don't know. I got to take a look. I've got it up now. I'll have to do some digging and find out. I mean, I'd love to watch the games, but I'm not going to – I pay enough for TV as it is. So I'm like, I don't know if I can do one more. Plus two, you know, it's like everything else, man. There's expenses involved with everything. Even if you, like me, like with my internet, I actually get a deal on my internet here. It's relatively cheap. But, you know, you got people and everybody that I've, you know, we're making these plans for the trip, our trip back to the States. And all I hear from everybody is, oh my God, things are so expensive since you left. Like, okay, that's not a good feel. So people are struggling. So it's just, you know, if you got,
it's the pandemic price raise that, Now that there's no supply chain issues, well, we're not going to bring it back down.
Right.
And that's what it is.
Yeah. Well, prices are going to come down. No, they're not. That's just the way, that's just economics, man. Prices go up, they usually stay up, you know, unless we're talking electronics.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, that's the only, you buy that TV, it's already outdated.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it kind of goes too. I mean, when it comes to technology, things get obsolete so fast. Even like what we're talking on right now, I've got an old machine that runs Windows 10. I really don't want to upgrade to Windows 11. I really don't. But, you know, at some point I'm going to have to. But it's.
And then my last CFL tidbit, and then I'm done. Yep. Did you see Jack Cohn got signed by Saskatchewan, the former Notre Dame quarterback? Just today.
Yeah. Okay.
So he got signed today. So, interesting to see where he fits in as a backup American quarterback.
Yeah. Well, it's gonna you don't typically
see that for a limited American roster spot to sign a backup quarterback.
No. Mm-mm. No. But he's from Notre Dame, so maybe that had to do, you know, that cachet of a Notre Dame quarterback. I mean, not like he was he's Joe Theismann or. I think that's the only Notre Dame quarterback I can think of who's played in the CFL off the top of my head. I'm sure there have been others.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I don't know. But, yeah, it's going to – as we move along here, we'll be talking a lot more CFL. And, you know, hopefully I'll have done a lot of my homework because I'm kind of – you know, this we were supposed to do this podcast yesterday. It didn't work out. So I woke up this morning kind of just doing things on the fly. So, and – you know, we'll have Fran. Fran is anybody's wondering where Fran is at right now. Fran is on assignment, but he'll be back the next time we talk. I don't know if it's going to be. We're going to do a show next week because I'm going to be traveling, but hopefully, we'll see. I should be back in town. Should be back to where I'm at here by Saturday. So next Saturday we'll figure it out. So, well. For everybody who's listening, thanks a lot. And, you know, if you're tuning into this, obviously, you know, our live stream now is at zero at this point. But I'm very hopeful people will be discovering this because as we record this, it's late at night there in the States and it's morning time here in Japan. And we're going to be, last time, you know, putting this on YouTube and in addition to doing the podcast kind of seems that, you know, I like doing this. This is, for all of us who do podcasts and video casts, a lot of this, the reason why we do this is it's just nice to sit down with friends and just have conversations about sports that we wouldn't normally have elsewhere. So for everybody listening, thank you very much. For everybody watching, thank you very much for tuning in. And we will be seeing you all very, very soon. Until then, as we're talking here, I'm trying to figure out how to end the live stream as we sit and talk. Hey, here. Oh, yep, there it is. So, no, Dave, you and I'll stay on here at after the live stream ends. So, but for everybody listening and watching, thank you very much. And we'll be seeing y'all and talking to y'all very, very soon. Bye-bye.
This is George Connor of the Chicago Bears. Bear down, Chicago Bears. We'll be right back.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, aka the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Hello, football friends. This is Darren Hayes of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, and I'd like to invite you to the portal of positive football history, Pigskin Dispatch and PigskinDispatch.com. We talk about everything that centers around the game of American football, expert discussions, the origins of the games, the great players, teams, and coaches, and more, as some great guests and insights from experts. We have new episodes 3 to 4 times a week, and you can find us on SportsHistoryNetwork.com, PigskinDispatch.com, or your favorite podcast provider.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.